talked about Zazen based on body and mind dropping off, which means that from the first dullness and destruction are struck aside the moment we do the thing. This morning I would like to see this from a pretty different angle. From the psychological point of view, you know pretty well in the primitive Buddhism, it is the categories of existence, which is called five skandhas. Among the five skandhas, there is a very interesting concept which is called sanskara. In Prajnaparamita Sutra, it is translated as impulses. According to Dr. Kanze, it is regarded as together maker. That concept of sanskara is a very interesting thing, teaching. And with the development of Buddhism, this concept, sanskara, is divided into many. For instance, in Abhidhamma Kosha, we learned this year already, given by Levinson, that there are five psychological categories of existence. One is form elements of form. That is the six organs, the six objects. And on the other, second one is six consciousnesses. The third category is called, function, the concomitant mental faculties. Well, it means function of mind, the wholesome mind, wholesome function and unwholesome function, concomitant with main consciousnesses, six consciousnesses. So many kinds of concomitant are the function of the mind. So for instance, anger, hatred, etc. Many things. That is the third one. The fourth one is, this is very interesting point, the categories, because this is an element which is not associated with the mind, not associated with the mind, the six consciousnesses and or concomitant mental faculties, or the form, the element of form, or the other one is the truth. That is the element which is completely not associated with the truth, and also the mind, and also form, and also the concomitant mental faculty. So that is what is called sankhara. So in Abhidharma Kosha, the sankhara are divided into many things. But the point is that element that I am very interested in this element, which is not associated with the mind and not associated with the truth. But that is the sort of a force. Well, the according to the book, Central, the Concept of Buddhism, the he said about this, it says, force, it must be recalled, shouldn't be regarded as a real inference of something extending beyond its own existence in order to penetrate into another. This will be but simply as a condition, for a fact upon which another fact arises or becomes prominent by itself. This is sanskara in the Buddhist system. So the sanskara is a force. Shouldn't be regarded as real inference of something extending beyond its own existence in order to penetrate into another. So sanskara is what not the real force penetrating into another being, but it is a condition. It is a kind of condition. A fact which occurs between two objects. The conditions are what is called origination and decay. According to primitive Buddhism, that is impermanence, or constant change, appearing, disappearing. But broadly speaking, force is understood like this. Anyway, force is not the real force, but the conditioned element, what occurs between two objects. And also this conditioned element has a certain power to confer two things to exist. So that's why this also says simply as a condition, a fact upon which another fact arises or becomes prominent by itself. This is sanskara. For instance, yesterday I told you the story about the geisha Shibi on the way of his trouble. He stumbled over, he struck his toes on a rock. Blood appeared, and he screamed, "Ouch!" And he had the question, "Body and mind doesn't exist. From where does this pain come?" So he attained enlightenment from this point. He went back to his temple and practiced under the supported master. Well, let's recall this story. In rock, his toes, his body and mind, particularly his legs, and also his nails came out by the hitting. But there are simple objects, okay? Simple objects. Rock and his toes. Between his toes and rock, but there is no consciousness, no functioning of the human consciousness. Human consciousness. If there is something there, if there is something, it is called force, which is called, which means conditioned element. Conditioned element, which happens between two objects, stone, rock, and toe. Something happens. That is condition. Under the condition, the two objects are combined, unified, as if just one. At that time, something happens. That is called event. Fact. That's why this also says the as simply as a condition or a fact, which Another fact arises. There is a fact which conditions the element between the two, and then two things are unified perfectly, and then something happens. This is another fact. So this is called event, occurrence. So from this point, conditioned element are sort of force, what sort of force, but actually not force, but sort of force to enable two beings combine or unify perfectly. That means, okay? In other words, when the toe, his toe, Genshin Shuri's toe is used perfectly, fitting into another object, its object, which is called rock. At that time, it is called something happened. Now on the other hand, when the rock is completely used perfectly, fitting into toe, at that time, that is called an event. You understand this is in the sankhya. So what is the sankhya? Sankhya is together maker. Together maker means conditioned element. Conditioned elements are completely something which is not associated with your mind. Okay? But yesterday or the day before yesterday I told you mind is characterized by the corporeal mind, by the karma. Characterized by dichotomy of two beings, always dichotomy. But in the realm of, in the context of, well, sankhara, there is no mind which is associated with conditioned elements, no, nothing. But this conditioned elements are kind of force, which is called to combine, to unify two beings, object and subject. At that time, there is something happening. But in the process of combining and unifying two objects, there is no mind. It's perfect. That's why There is no room to let human kinds of speculation insert into it. Nothing. That's why they naturally, all delusions, doubt, and destruction drop off. Nothing. No doubt, no destruction, no confusion, completely nothing. And then, Something happened. And when something happens, okay, that is event or occurrence, at that time, mind associates. Okay? Mind associates with this event. Okay? Event. That is what you got after something. Okay? Something happens after. Mind associates with this occurrence which happened. Okay? And then it's okay. That is very natural. Simultaneously it happens. Okay? But the point is, at that time, when the mind attached to the event, this is called conditioned world, dualistic world. But when mind doesn't attach to this event, it turns into the truth. That is unconditioned world. That's why what sankhara is sort of a bridge. What enables you to take to dualistic world or not dualistic world. That is complete bridge or door. Door is free, always free. No delusions, no confusions. Always doors exist. Okay? So something happens. At the moment when it happens, mind associates and attached to something, that is, at that time, you can enter into the dualistic world. So when mind doesn't attach to, oh, immediately you can go there. So go to the truth. Okay? But, unfortunately, mind is always characterized by the cause, I told you. So, more or less, we immediately enter into the dualistic world. But the point is, it's not necessary to be confused. We have to awaken to the nature of the mind. Nature of the mind, as much as possible, as best as we can, we have to awaken to. What is the characteristic of mind? Mind is immediate associated with occurrence and attached to it. At that time, you can get into the gate of dualistic world. Okay? So you should awaken to it. If you awaken to perfectly, okay, through and through, that is the, well, very good chance to enter, to move to the world. Anyway, two, how we have to use our body and mind must be used perfect for what? Zazen. Or for what? For the rock. When your toe is completely used perfectly for rock, something happens. So in other words, we have to return to origin, our original of existential situation, condition. Let's return to origin. That is, well, something happens. Okay? There is fall between the two. So that conditioned element are kind of, is kind of a force, okay, to combine, to unify, to conserve two things. Within this, no mind, no mind, complete nothing. But unfortunately, we have a mind. Okay? We have a mind, so we cannot ignore the mind. So we have to use a mind. Okay? Use a mind. So, that's why we have to use the mind, okay? So first, we have to use our body, okay? In other words, toe, okay? Or rock. Rock corresponds to the vent, okay? Toes is your body. When your body is perfectly used, okay, for the rock was the fence. Without, okay, without mind associated with this condition, just a condition. Let's use the body and the fence. Let's use your body, let's use the body perfectly, fitting into the fence. At that time, something happens. That is called something. We call something. That is the occurrence. We can see. We immediately mind attach it. Oh, that is mind. This is clear. we see Zazen. That is not real Zazen. That is sketch of Zazen or picture of Zazen. Image of Zazen. So we attached it. And that, if you attach to it, that is your Zazen is already in the dualistic world. It's not real Zazen. But if you don't attach to it, okay, if you don't attach to this event occurrence, your Zazen enter into the gate of the truth, which is called unconditioned world. This is really beautiful Zazen rule. Dogen, I already told you a few stories so far, and Dogen says also here lots of examples, but he didn't explain the concretely about the each story. but the few stories I told you are really a good implication of the meaning of Shikantara Zazen based on body and mind dropping off. And then he says here, in addition, the beginning about of enlightenment by the opportunity provident provided by a finger, a banner, a needle, or a mallet, and the effecting of realization with the aid of a hostel and fist, a stab, or a shout, those things come from the old story of the Zen masters, between the Zen monks, what you can see in this book, in the note. But overall, it's not easy. I don't have enough time to explain all things. So that's why I told you a few things, a few stories. Ancient Cubis, and one more thing I forgot. Cannot be fully understood by man's discriminated thinking. Okay? You cannot understand, okay, why Denshi Shubi attained enlightenment by striking his toes and by seeing the blood coming out. You don't understand why. The blood has mysterious power? I don't think so. Blood is blood. Your toes, his toes, has a particular mysterious power? No. He didn't have a telepathy. He didn't use telepathy in the just walk. Rock is a rock. Has nothing mysterious power. But why he attained enlightenment? Because I told you before, we are mind, something happens. The rock and tones and the Genshin Shubis and the passage, all are beings, okay, which are not associated with the mind. So everything exists day after day in the process of change, okay? In the stream of change, complete. Birds, Zazen, that silence, all things exist in peace, in harmony, in the stream of change. And then something happens according to conditioned element, what happens between the two. That is, conditioned element is characterized by, let one object, one being, used perfectly for another being, fitting into its object perfect. This is conditional element. So, for instance, sound comes up. So your ears hear the sound outside. When your ears completely use the perfectly, fitting into the sound at that time you can hear. By what? Well, conditioned the element. What is called soul. Together makes. That conditioned element, from where it comes, we don't know. We don't know. It's there. It's there. Well, according to the Buddhist philosophy, that is called dependent origination. Dependent origination. Or change, constant change. The function of the conditioned element, always conditioned element, interdependent, always connected. The sound is completely used for your ear, fitting into your ear perfectly. That is, at that time, well, your ear becomes one with sound. Then something happens. That is sound. So, at that time, that is event. Then immediately, mind associates with this silence, okay? Or your ear. Then that is a gate. Which would you like to go? This way or that way? Very quick. Very quick. And also mind is very tricky. If you realize, hey, yes, mind is very tricky. Well, you already tricked. You already tricked. I understand mind, how tricky mind is. Well, you are already tricked. Tricked by your understanding how tricky mind is. So always, again and again, snowball. First of all, then finally, what you have to do is stop it. Stop it. How can you stop it? You cannot stop the mind. So, first important thing, in order to stop the mind, first, let your body must be used perfectly, fitting into your object. At that time, then not. Mind stops. See mind? Because my body and breath becomes one with the Zazen. At that time, Zazen, my body, completely one with Zazen. And then problem is mind associated with and attached to it. At that time, you can't see the oneness. And then the mind understands the oneness, the misunderstand the oneness. For instance, that is, oneness is just like, the moon reflected in the water. So, combination of two things. But it is not one. Because two different things exist. So it's not. So Dogen then says, in the Genjo Koan, like this, oneness is not. It's not like moon reflected in the water in which moon is reflected. So, what is the oneness? Oneness appears. Oneness manifests itself. Only when your body is perfectly used and fitting into your heart. That time, your body merges itself in the land. So your body doesn't appear. Just the land. When you see the land, when you see your body, just the body appears and doesn't appear. For instance, you don't understand yet, because there is a good example. There is the same lump of clay. So whatever, however you use this clay, it depends on you. But let's imagine we try to make the Tao, okay? Tao or China, okay? Or plate, whatever it is. Let's work. Let's make a, well, plate. Japanese dish, China, okay? And also Tao. But when you use perfectly this clay, a lump of clay, fitting into a dish. Okay. At that time, where is the clay? You can call it, that is clay. You say dish. Where do you see the dish? But on the other hand, complete clay is hidden behind the dish. Well, when you make the down with this clay, you don't call that clay, you call down. Japanese down or American down, you say so. But at that time, clay doesn't appear. In the realm of the down world, completely hidden. But it's not disappeared, it's always there. But we don't say, always we see the Tao. When you see, just see the Tao, that's enough. If so, what clay is hidden behind Tao? Support, great support. But you can say, you cannot say always that is a Tao. No clay, you cannot say. So, on the other hand, turn over. If you see the Tao in terms of the clay, just the clay, it's clay, same clay, but with which you make dish and Tao. So you say those clay same. So in terms of the clay, Tao and dish are completely hidden behind clay. Just the clay appears. That's why we are interested in the subject of what kind of clay you use to discuss again and again. You don't care the Tao. You don't care the death. Analyzing, synthesizing, this is science. Because total picture of death as a being possesses double face. But this double face is not combination of the two things. Just like a moon's reflected in the water. It's not oneness. Oneness is when you see the Tao, just see the Tao. At that time, clay doesn't appear. Dogen then says, when one is bright, the other one is dark. The other one is dark. The other one is dark doesn't mean the other one disappeared. It doesn't mean the other one disappeared. It's there, but it doesn't interact. One side, doubts like this one, is great support, which doesn't appear yet on the surface of Tao's world. So this is one. This is one. So same applies to our Zazen. First of all, mind is always associating with, in a way, events. Okay, events. What is called practice observance. So at that time when you attach to, your zazen becomes, you enter into dualistic zazen. Okay? At that time, zazen is used as a means. But when you use, when your mind doesn't attach to it, well, your zazen enters into the truth. So how can you stop the functioning of your mind? You cannot stop it. So all important point is, let's return to origin, what is called sankhara world, which is called elements which is not associated with mind and truth, complete mind. Let's return to conditioned elements. What is how we can return to conditioned elements? Because I told you before, conditioned elements is characterized by unifying two beings perfectly. That means one object is used perfectly, fitting into its object. This is conditioned error. So let's return to this. So using your body, and breath are used perfectly, fitting into the thing. That time, something happens. That is zazen as an event. So mind immediately catch it. That, I got it. You catch it. The moment when you catch it, there is a touch. So, important. That's why regulating of the mind is important. That is, Dogen Zen says, throw away good or bad, right or wrong, have no design of becoming a Buddha. Through and through, anywhere we have to, anyway, practice of having no sign of becoming Buddha, no reward there. Just return to conditioned element. Using your body perfectly fitting into anywhere object. So then, at that time, your body become one bit naturally with. So then, so your body anyway is made as so then. Okay? So then. That's all. And then when you see just the zazen, it is zazen. It is just zazen. Well, where is your body? Body is hidden behind the zazen. But if that body doesn't bother, doesn't, just doesn't. Just like a doll, and also stick. But on the other hand, if you see that zazen from the back, which is called clay, or your body, and breath, mind, at that time, body appears, but zazen is complete hidden behind. It doesn't bother. Then, at that time, mind, all delusions complete drop off. This is zazen, shikantara. So shikantara, based on dropping off, body and mind dropping off, it's not new idea mentioned by Buddha Dogen. It's really Buddhist. Really Buddhist. Well, you can explain according to Buddhist psychology, but we don't understand the real meaning of sanskara and also lots of elements which is not associated with mind. That's why we don't. We understand just as concept. Apart from human life. That's why we don't understand. Okay? And also one of the elements are not associated with the mind is obtaining conditional, obtaining or getting, okay? Obtaining and getting. That is one of the conditioned elements. Between the two, there is conditioned element which is called obtaining, getting. In Sanskrit we say prapti, prapti, P-R-A-P-T-I, prapti, meaning to get, to obtain. So in obtain, that means there are sort of three kinds of obtaining and getting. Obtaining means to obtain and complete, complete something. That is a characteristic of conditioned elements. To get and complete. There are three kinds of getting and completing. One is, you can sow a seed of the truth. Even though your body and mind exist in the dualistic world, you can sow a seed. So seed is complete seed, not plant. Seed. And also, you can manifest your actions. Your actions are actualized. In other words, you can manifest your action in your daily life. That is complete pride. Even though you are in the dualistic world, you can plant, you can complete. You can complete Buddha's world right now and actualized in your daily living. This is the one, the second, obtaining and completion. And then, on the other hand, is seek. Okay? You can't, you don't actualize, but you can sow a seed. You can sow a seed. For instance, skandhala, you don't. In the skandhala, all delusions drop off. You don't understand. You don't understand. But if you do that, then anyway, you can sow the seed in your mind, in your life. But it doesn't appear. No. But someday, if you do it, if you really do the Zen, using possibly your body fitting into the Zen, at that time it's actualization of the Zen itself. So even though you don't understand, well, you gain something and complete something. The other truth. Even though you are dualistic world, you can do it. Third one is, you are completely not interested. Well, Zazen, well, Karagi says Zazen is important, so I let's try to Zazen, you know, always like this. This is Zazen. It doesn't appear, you can't plant the seed, but someday, somewhere, it will, Zazen will grow. So this is another opportunity, the possibility. So three possibilities. One possibility is to plant the seed. Second possibility is to actualize. In order to complete your daily life, you can do it. And the third possibility is no intent. So, something, this person, I don't know, but no state of something. But Karagi said, let's do the Zen. That's right, or just do the Zen. But this is also preserved. Because that is possibility which will bloom in the future. That is called completion of deliberation.
freedom. Completion of freedom.
In other words, the freedom of the, you are freedom. You are free. Okay? No particular level. Good or bad or neutral. You are, your life is so-so. Are you happy? No. Are you unhappy? No. Are you unneutral? No.
But how do you feel? So-so. You understand? That's okay.
But still there is a casting. So that is one of the conditioned elements. Which is called obtaining and getting. Okay? So between the two others, Zazen and you, there are three kinds of conditioned elements. Okay? Three kinds of conditioned elements means three kinds of possibilities here. You can plant a seed right now, using your body and complete it. Okay? According to the instructions, you can plant seeds. Even though you don't understand. Or you can completely plant, actualize completion. According to suggestions and instructions to knowledge, you can find, you can realize. But if you actualize exactly, even though intellectual cannot be, it's really actualize. You can actualize. So, you can complete something in your daily living. And also, between the Zazen and you, there is another possibility. Well, I don't understand. Well, I don't want to do, but I want. Let's do it more. So, so best way, that is in context of conditioned elements. How? Using your body, perfectly fitting into your object. At that time, your body becomes one with Zazen. Zazen becomes one with you. Very natural. At that time, there is something happening. That is called Zazen. The question is, mind attached to it. That's why Dogen Zen says, let's practice regulation of the mind. No sign of having reward. That is the point. We have to understand what is mind. Very tricky mind. Very monkey mind. All this. Why we have to make every possible effort to do that. We have a mind. Mind is already here. Okay? That's why we have to practice. So, Dogen Zen says, that's why, it cannot be free, known by the practicing or realizing of supernatural power either. Okay? Even though you can fly in the air, you cannot understand this kind of event. Or, Dogen Zen says, it must be deportment beyond man's hearing and seeing. If you see Zazen after your Zazen, that is image Zazen. It is not real Zazen. Deportment means behavior, which is called Zazen. Okay? In Japanese, we call easy. Easy means majestical and awe-inspiring. Okay? Okay? Majestic, very majestic. Okay? Gi of easy means fitting into rhythm of the truth. Okay. That is form your behavior. And that is deportment. As he here says, deportment. But originally we use id. Usually we use behavior, but that behavior is id in Buddhism, because that behavior has, well, very majestic, a sense of majesty and also a sense of the all in creating, fitting into rhythm of the truth. That is your behavior. So, this behavior, which is called Zazen, is complete beyond hearing or seeing through the six consciousness. Let's return to conditioned elements, that's all. But, here said, Dogen Zen says, is it not the principle that is prior to his knowledge and perception? Is it not the principle that is prior to his knowledge and perception? That means, that Zazen, completely beyond hearing and seeing, is not mysterious. It is still following and being in it, in accord with function of the knowledge and perception. How? Let's use your body and the mind, breath, okay? And the mind perfectly fitting into one object, one object. But then, at that time, something happens. Something happens. And after that, mind associated. That's all. Okay. Then mind said, that's the thing. And then you touch it. But before mind, prior to function of your mind, it's really just there. It's a very simple process. That's why Dogen Zen says, is it not the principle that is prior to his knowledge and perception? It's here. You have to. It's really fit into your knowledge and perception. Okay. Do you have a question?
In Second Conception of Buddhism, I remember reading in a couple of places where he talked about prapti and it's, well, not exactly opposite, but similar for a prapti.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about prapti differently than you. He called it a force that keeps positives together in one being.
Positive, yes.
And the a prapti as some force that keeps away.
Yes.
Could you say a little more about that?
Well, that is changing. Changing, function of the change, stream of change, broadly mm-hmm. speaking. Well, we analyze that the function of the change, okay, dividing into the several things, okay, gain a property, and a property, but this is a category, just a category. So that means, broadly speaking, there is some force to combine, to put together something, to separate all of it. Okay? That means appearance, disappearance.
Could you develop a specific example of just, you know, something in everyday life that comes up and where?
Well, we always do it. Something happens. For instance, here is a good example, okay? When I was at monastery, we had the big earthquake. It was evening of the day which we performed a memorial service for Dogen's death. And then that is 5 o'clock, almost 5 o'clock. And then right after service in the Zendo, all monks are about to leave Zendo several people in the end of the line, okay, step, okay, step out, okay, from the center, then earthquake happened. But unfortunately, there is no damage. There was no damage in each monastery, but the, you know, core, the foundation, the hallways and steps dropped down were almost an inch. No damage. But here is a very good example. One of my friends, that day was a day, well, vacation, a day off for him. So he took a day off, went to a Fukui city, a little far from a monastery. It takes about, it took about 30 minutes at that time. Now it's pretty quick. At that time, it took 30 minutes or so from Age Monastery to Fukui City. So he went there, and I don't know what he did, but anyway, he went. But he told me he wanted to see the movie at that time. He wanted to see the movie. But he thought, oh, tonight, the memorial service, tonight, the particular day of performing the memorial service for Dogen's death. Let's go back. So he returned. He returned. Then at that time, you know, the all movies here completely crashed. Everybody died. Because in a theater, you know that here, no pole. If you have a big earthquake, exactly, boom, all people completely die. But he said he was safe. Do you understand? That's a very good example. And one more person is... One more person was right in the middle, right on the train, from a Fukui city to Eiji Monastery. Because he thought also, oh, today is the particular day of performing a memorial service for Dogen. So let's go back. He was in the city. And also he wanted to see the movie, but he was. He was at that time right in the middle of the trip. Then train completely tipped off. But he didn't. He was alive. Do you understand? This is a very good example.
Okay, how do these two terms then relate to karma?
I don't know. That is a karma, maybe past life. Well, you can envision, okay? Past life, and also past life. His karma, maybe past, in the past, was, might be good. He planted good karma in the past, okay? That's why he wanted to see the movie, but he thought, oh no, let's go back to Eight months. So that is pretty good time. Well, from where that good sense comes, maybe from the past life.
So the karma might influence how strong these forces
are
in acting?
In many ways. But only the conditions, times, opportunities are arranged, ripe, and conditions arranged. Get it? That's why Dogen's day, Memorial's day, okay? His day off, his memorial, Dogen's day, Memorial's day, all anyway set up. And then karma starts to work. What would you like? You want to go to a movie or you want to go to Dance Monastery.
How
then are
those conditions separate from the mind? Is karma involved? I mean, things don't happen randomly.
How come?
What you talked about, conditioned elements and, mm-hmm. and not relating to the truth of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You said that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how is that so? If
well, conditioned elements are very broad. Very broad. Past, present, future. So, conditioned elements related, associated with karma. Karma.
But isn't that associated with the mind?
No. Because that karma is completely beyond good or bad, right or wrong. If you judge the karma, it's good, it's bad, that is a, well, mind associated with karma. But karma is just karma. That is a conditioned reality. That's why something happens. Ralph, did you shoot his toes? Something happens. But I don't know. You can't say it is bad, it is good. Why can you do this? Well, we don't know. For instance, if you walk on a bridge, okay, and the bridge immediately crashed, then you die. Why is it you have to die? No one knows. Well, there is a good example. Someone dies in that way. That is conditioned element of that is completely good and bad. That is a matter of the mind. Okay? So whether it is associated with what karma and not associated, okay? Completely beyond just conditioned element. But anyway, karma is so conditioned element is related with the past, present, future. That is. So, philosophically speaking, that is interdependent co-production. Interdependent co-production.
Well, then we can still see the instant without attaching to it and learn from that because. Perhaps if he had noticed the rock an instant before, he wouldn't have felt it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Gensho had noticed the rock.
I don't know.
Before. One thing,
maybe,
maybe
so.
Maybe
he
would have felt it so much. Mm-hmm. And is it? Can we look at that and see that? Does that attach to it?
That is already processed. So through your mind, which is working. The rock and its toes completely are beings as they really are from moment to moment, completely beyond prior to function of your mind, consciousness. Toes and his body and toes, the rock. Just there. If his mind is working, what's working before he struck his toes, maybe he didn't. He wouldn't have such an event. But already here, something, that means rock as a being beyond function of human mind. But how do they associate with each other? We don't know. Because between the two, something is connected. That connection, not something happens right now. it's really connected with the past and future. That's why it's broad. That's why if you don't pay careful attention to your life, well, many things come up. That's why all we have to do is to use perfectly with our best, fitting into our best. But then, if you want to do that, then that's it. And become one. And then after that, what? Well, mind associated and attached. So, yes, according to my talk yesterday, we are always seeing the before, the then, and after the then. We miss middle. That is real the then. So we always understand the then before the then and after the then, or before the you, before the then, okay, you after the then. You always look and check, analyze, and but we miss most important zazen and practices in the middle. You agree? Water is on effect.
What is the water?
Well, water is, according to Dogen's understanding, that is a whole universe. Now, water is the occupying a certain space. Water is universe. When the water becomes one with moon, when the water reflects the moon, that time, water is not water. Water is whole universe. That time, there is no combination. No combination of water and moon. So, if you see the water, immediately there is a moon. But that moon does not appear. That's why the moon is there. When one is bright, the other one is dark. The moon is dark. That means water appears. That water is really blooming of the universe, not water. Universe. So universe includes moon, water, trees, birds. That is the real meaning of the water life.
The two monks expressing their life when they went back to the monastery, or were they picking and choosing?
The two monks,
your friends that you just
to go
back. Were they just, was that an expression of their life, or were they picking and choosing? What's the difference?
Oh, of course, he chose his life. But by what? What part of his mind did he choose? I don't know. It may be karma. It's connected with the past life, present life, future life. There are many conditions there, many things there. So in the future, memorial serves there, and in the past, his maybe karma, he planted a seed in the past. And then many things combined, unified, and something happened. And then his mind catches that event, Moniton and are movies and his calmness, okay, all things put together, and then something happens, and then mind catch it, or choose. And then mind choose, let's go there.
I still don't understand the statement that body does not exist. And he said this so? And he said that body does not exist or something like that?
Well, if you use the term body and mind, already that is the image of the body and mind. You are already taken in by the word, the trick already. The body and mind doesn't exist means, or body and mind is what? Body and mind is nothing but a being that exists right now, right here, beyond good or bad, right and wrong. So, body is what? Well, many very important thing. But on the other hand, it's not important. So if you judge the body from your mind, in other words, if you see the body after something, okay, before something, okay, before. So if you understand the body before and after, well, always there is a judgment. But really, body and the mind is just a being becoming one with you, becoming one with some event. If you strike your toe on the rock, your body and mind, what? Nothing but the toe. The toe. Exemplify your whole body and mind. So, toes, your body, are just a being as it is, beyond human speculation. Before you judge, before you see your body, before something happens. And also after, if you see your body after something happens, you can say that is the body, that's why you are attached to it and scream out. But right in the middle of the occurrence, body doesn't, no idea of body, because toes, rub, just one. By what? Condition? Just one. Your toes are used perfectly for the rock fitting into it. That's all. Something else. Yes. Pain is sort of a the idea, image, you are for some of your experience. Real pain is no pain. No pain. So if your mind attached to something, it is called sometimes pain, it is called trigger. So your toe, your body, is just one with the rock right in the middle of the event. No idea of body, no idea of rock, no idea of toes, no idea of pain. Just all things put together, combined. They combine and disappear. In this realm, there is no confusion. No confusion. Just all things put together. After that, immediately, mind attached to it. Then you say, body. I have a toe, and then you say, ouch. That's why he said, body and mind doesn't exist. from where pain comes. Actually, pain comes from knowable. Knowable means just the function of the two things, rock and top. Just a function, total dynamic working, that's all. Within death, no pain. Thought of a death. If you become one with the death, no pain, no pleasure, nothing. Just a dynamic working between the death and that. After that, immediately, this is death. But it's too late, but we do all of it in our daily living. I died, this is death. And then we say that his body and mind exist. But I don't think so. But we cannot ignore that. That's why we have already mind, and also we have a lot of customs. We have accumulated in the past. That's why we have to pay careful attention to our body and mind, how to use them perfectly, fitting into a circumstance. But doesn't, or whatever.
Said we have already mind, and get some other statements. Does mind exist before these things take place?
Well, mind is already exist.
The mind is always existing.
Yes.
Independent of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Independent of toy and rock.
Oh, independent.
Independent.
Oh, independent. You mean the mind is independent?
Yes,
actually. Mind is independent from that total dynamic working. Okay? Yes. Because mind, but original nature of the mind is already there. The original nature of the mind is what? Not mind. Okay? Not mind. It's just conditioned origination, conditioned co-production, function.
So even if but anyway, mind exists before these things are happening.
Yes. Original face of the mind is that the same as the being. Just like a rock and toes and trees, birds, many things. Same. That's what we call Dharma. Everything is called Dharma. So mind, unwholesome mind or wholesome mind, whatever kind, all are Dharma. Completely same.
Can you speak about mind apart from Dharma?
Part of the Dharma?
Can we speak about mind apart from Dharma?
No, you can't.
No. Can't talk about one without
you
the
have
other.
To talk. If you, as long as you want to talk about mind, you have to talk about mind as a Dharma. Because that is a mind, that is a Dharma which exists in the dualistic world and also which exists in the truth. As the original nature of the mind, at that time, no mind. In the truth, in the context of the mind, in the context of the truth, there is no idea of the mind. That's why Prajnaparamita says no mind, okay? No eyes, no ears. But how can we know no mind? That's why Dogen Zen says in the chapter of Prajnaparamita Sutra, he said there is mind, there is eyes, nose, ears, and etc. That means use eyes, ears, nose, mind, body, perfectly accommodating to the thing as it is. That time, their mind, nose, and eyes become one with the zazen, okay? So, no eye. No eye. No mind. No mouth. Do you understand? That is a no, a meaning of a no mind, okay? No mind. No mind doesn't mean to destroy. So, using your mind perfectly, how? Fitting into single object, the then. At that time, there is no mind.
Sometimes you are in the past, you or Jaksho, somebody, or Sukhita Roshi, talked about big mind, small mind. When you talk about mind here, Roshi, what do you refer to? Big mind, small mind, all
both.
Mind? Both.
I'm talking about both.
Both.
The picky mind is the monkey mind is small mind, but original nature of the mind is a big mind.
So you're talking about big mind?
Yeah, big mind. But we cannot ignore the small mind, because right after event occurs, happens, well, mind associated with it, so you cannot ignore. That's why in our practice, we have to practice regulation of the mind. Constantly, we have to be mindful of no sign of having a reward. Becoming Buddha, no sign. Continually do. Otherwise, we cannot use our body and mind perfectly, to fit into the event. Now, right here, that means something limited by something. What is called what? Right now, right here is what? Right now, right here is universe. If you say universe, you are already tricked by the word universe. The universe is what? Tall function of right now, right here. How can you see real meaning of right now, right here, as the universe, be alive, right now, right here? So whatever you say, that is a water, that is a moon, that's okay, according to this. But when you come back to dualistic world, water is water. Moment is moment. Space is space, time is time. Paul is Paul, Kali is Kali. So, how can you know the universe? Using the Paul, using the not right now, right here, perfectly fitting into your object. That time, universe, boom. That is the one. It is not combination of the water and the moon. So that's why Dogen says the self is whole universe. Self is whole universe. And also, time is being. Time is being. Time is not time. Time is being. Time is space. Space is time. So time is being, when you say now, right now, and right here, what is the time of time is being? We cannot put the name on it. That's why we say nowness, or now and hereness, or eternity, or eternal time, whatever kind of words you use, very difficult to manifest. Now and here, I think. So, body is unit. Self is whole unit. Time is being. Well, because we have enjoyed a little small mind for many years, so we have got used of enjoying it for many years. Not only your life, okay, from the beginning that's past, anywhere we have done all. That's why it's pretty hard to see the big mind immediately. It really depends on the individual. Maybe someone will can see big mind after the practicing of 3 years or 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe so. It doesn't matter. Okay. That's why it's pretty hard. But the important point is we have to practice. When you have to practice, we have to practice Zazen, not the being involved in the many things in the dualistic world. Okay? Analyzing, synthesizing, I like this, I don't like this. I feel good, I don't feel good, that's why I want to do this, I don't want to do this. This is very messy. Messy. No matter how long you practice that, then you cannot find big mind. But anyway, that is that. It's not necessary to destroy or hate or like. Let them be alone. All you have to do is just write something you want to do that.
Is a project always present when profit? Is a project always present when profit is present?
That is a very conceptualized term, you think. So there are lots of the terms there, but it's not. In Mahayana Buddhism, we don't believe it is really something would exist. Well, if you say something would exist, it has substance.
Okay, well, in the story that you told us, that you gave us as an example of prophet, made prophet, it seemed to me, if I understand it right, prophet was the force that brought your friend back to the monastery, and a prophet was the earthquake, and they were both present. I think, if I understand it, terms.
No, a property is a kind of force which took my friend the 2-age monastery separate from the movie theater.
A property.
Yeah. And that they taking away for the saving him from the death. You understand that it's a property. There is something separate, force to separate. Sometimes put together, that time unfortunately you have to die. But he was fate, that means maybe a force of a property.
Did he rush because he changed his mind?
No, a property
means not obtaining, not obtaining or not getting. That is a fourth kind of force. Fourth means conditioned element. So before your mind is exercised, there is something fourth, some kind of fourth, to attach to or to separate from, to put together or to separate. That is called dynamic water. Is that clear? That is our property, separate, forth, to separate from something.
Is that like inertia,
Lucy? Hmm?
Is that like inertia?
Inertia?
Inertia.
Inertia, what is that?
The force, things at rest tend to stay at rest, and things that are moving tend to...
No, if you say force, that force has a certain kind of power to penetrate into another.
No, that's not. It sounds real similar to me.
You are.
The things that, like what you're talking about, a prophecy and prophecy, that things that at rest tend to stay at rest unless something...
No.
What simplified it for me was when you explained in the book that apathy was more the force that kept away the negatives, and prophecy was the force that brought towards you positive. Is that correct understanding?
Or towards you, or towards that your object to want.
Yeah.
And it's a separate.
So, are these functions that function in people that are engaged, actively engaged in practicing the Buddhist way, or for anyone?
Cool.
A prophet and prophet. In the two, in the example you gave, both of those people were monks. They were practicing the Buddhist way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about either being drawn to positive or kept away from negative things. And are those terms like also used just to describe events in anyone's life, in Roman Catholic life?
Sure.
Simultaneous properties, do they operate simultaneously?
Sometimes together, sometimes different. Okay? Because sometimes you can see the ball. Okay? I want to go there, but I don't want to go there. So, simultaneously. But you don't know what to do. So the original nature of such a feeling comes from property and property. But intellectually, you know pretty well which you should choose this one, okay? But actually, you don't know what to do. So you can see the both. So sometimes both work together, sometimes separately.
Okay.
Roshi, do you know the term creation stories? Do you know that? Well, most cultures and religions have creation stories that explain how it all started, like Adam and Eve is a creation.
Well, the Abhidhamma Kosha, there is an outlook on the human world, the structure of the human world, the structure of the human being. So they explain how the world created. And not just like creation of the world mentioned by Christianity. According to, I told you, Mount Smell, right in the middle of the universe, there is a huge Mount Smell. At the top of the mountain, the gods exist, and 84 kinds of guardians exist, protecting that god, and also
nine mountains, the eight mountains, and the nine beautiful, fragrant oceans. And then four kinds of plants exist. North, south, east, west. Southern part of the plant is human water. You can see the explanation of that thing in the first book of Abhidhamma Kosha. The whole one is explanation of the how to work, its structure, and the born, etc. Very interesting.